Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. That's Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're all presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, 330-365-9022. Check them out, aesracing.com. Guys, game five tonight. Obviously, we'll start with the NBA. That's the big topic of the discussion this week. Game five, coming off of a game four win for the Cavs. They took took care of business at home, Chris. And I know that we probably kind of all expected that because Boston hasn't played well on the road in the playoffs, but they play extremely well at home. So game five is very pivotal tonight. The Cavs and Celtics are tied at two games apiece. Game five in Boston tonight. Your thoughts real quick on game three and four?
My thoughts real quick on game three and four is Boston played very lazy. I think we were both texting back and forth in game four, and I think Boston was just very lazy. On the defensive side of things, you can't miss 15 dunks and layups and expect to. That's 30 points you're leaving.
It was four that they missed, dunks.
No, it was 15 dunks and layups.
I know.
That's 30 points, and you lost by, what, 11?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a big difference right there. But in my opinion, I think the series is over now. I think that Boston, if they were going to win one, I think they were going to have to win one in Cleveland and then close out in game five and get Cleveland done early. I do not think Boston's going to win a game on the road in game six, and I think it's darn near impossible to beat LeBron James in a game seven. So in my opinion, I think the series is over now. I just hope that none of our guys get hurt. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
McElroy, your thoughts on game four and five? Obviously, LeBron in game sevens, like Chris said, are very, very good. But he's also good when it gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. You show the last two games at home, he has really come to life, you know, and really played well. Your thoughts on three and four, Eric?
I mean, LeBron kind of always plays well. We took that 44 the other night kind of for granted. It was just like a ho-hum. Oh, yeah, LeBron, you know, had 44 points. It's almost like we expect that kind of thing. Game three, you really can't take much from game three. Just a blowout. I mean, what can you take from that
game? But do you think it was more Cleveland doing what they did, or do you think Boston kind of was I don't want to say lay down, but I don't know another word.
No, it was Cleveland playing defense and hitting their threes. I mean, they shot like 50% from three-point land in game three of 17 of 34. Game four was a little telling. Just how the Cavs, they kind of let that lead slip away a little bit, let Boston just hang around enough. Look, Cleveland had 19 turnovers. I mean, Boston had a chance to make that a game and cut it to within a couple of possessions.
Yeah, and they couldn't make a layup.
Yeah, there was like a lid on the bucket there for Boston, and Kyle Korver had his block party. I don't know what that was about or where the heck that came from. But yeah, game four, I mean, it was... If Cleveland loses that game, the series is probably over. But I love how everybody's a fortune teller. You think the series is already over. You thought LeBron, he's already out of town, booked his ticket to LA.
Yeah, I mean, it's all perspective, right? I mean, everybody kind of moves with how the series goes, the ebbs and flows of things. I mean, that's just the way I feel. Boston, I think historically this year in the playoffs has played terrible on the road. They had one decent game.
I think they're 1-7.
Yeah, they had
on
one decent game in Philly.
Yeah,
and you know
I think Philly was a little overrated though too. If you look back on it, they didn't play well in that series. They got lucky in round one, not lucky, but you know, they didn't have a super tough matchup in round one.
Yeah.
But when you play a good team, it's tough to beat them. And if you look at Boston, look how young they are. You look at Philly, they're young as well.
Right.
Young teams, you know, I've always said bad teams in the NFL don't win on the road. Young teams in the playoffs in the NBA typically don't win on
right.
the road.
Right, and I agree with you 100%. And you can't shoot, what did Boston shoot, 33% or 34% from the floor, and Cleveland shot 58% from the floor? I mean, you can't. And you only lost by 11? And you missed 15 dunks and layups? I mean,
I don't know
really?
If it was that many, to be honest with you. 15
it was
seems,
it was 15
seems
dunks
like a lot.
Or layups.
I know it was four dunks for sure, because that would have they would have only lost by one if they had hit those dunks.
It was 15, I can promise you.
The difference in the series has been Tristan Thompson, his play on Al Horford, sort of kind of canceling each other out, because listen, if Tristan's going to put up the same numbers as Horford, right, Boston has no chance in this series. So we'll see how Horford plays here tonight. Do you think Brad Stevens, because you know he's the greatest coach of all time, do you think he makes any adjustments tonight? I didn't like starting say, Aaron Baines.
I didn't say he was the greatest coach of all time.
I didn't say you said.
Everybody else has said that he's the greatest coach of all time.
I think he is. Him and I think Steve Kerr are the best two coaches in the NBA right now.
Better than Popovich?
No, we've had this combo, but do you think he makes any adjustments tonight?
Yeah, I mean, do I think he changes the starting lineup? No. Do I think he makes adjustments?
So no Aaron Baines tonight to maybe force Tristan to guard him and put Kevin Love on Al Horford and...
I don't think so. No, I don't think. I think he goes with what got him there. They play well at home.
Yeah, I think he stays.
Goes with the lineup that he wins with at home.
That's been the hot take.
Yeah, he needs to go with the lineup that got him there. You know, and that's kind of what Ty Lewis went back to. Well, LeBron helped him in that decision, but you put the five guys out there that's been through it, and this is just like a game seven for Cleveland in my mind. Game five tonight is just like a game seven because, in my opinion, I think whoever wins this game tonight will win the series. And I say that because of this. If Boston wins tonight, it'll go seven. If Cleveland wins tonight, Boston's not winning in Cleveland on Friday.
Correct.
So it's over. But
correct.
So whoever wins tonight will win the series. And that's just my personal opinion because I don't think Boston's very hard to beat at home.
Yeah, and LeBron James is very hard to beat in a game seven.
But he
especially knowing that he can go back to what, a ninth straight finals?
Eighth,
whatever. You know what I mean? I lost count.
Sure.
The bottom line is he's the best player in the world. Like him, hate him, don't like him, doesn't matter. He's the best player in the world. After 15 years in the league and 32, 33 years old, whatever he is, the guy is just incredible. You saw what happened.
Sure.
Right? The other night, when Boston started to make their run and they cut it to seven, what happened? LeBron James took the ball to the rack and nobody could stop him.
Sure.
They switched. They put Terry Rozier on him. It doesn't matter. On a screen, and you got Terry Rozier matched up against LeBron James, who's double his size. Really?
Sure.
I mean, he took the ball to the rack. And that was it. I think that's what would happen in a game set.
How do you think in that, or as a Celtics fan in that game four when they continued to switch on the pick and roll? Yeah, you can try and go underneath of it, but then you give LeBron all that airspace, and then he can either shoot or drive. Because they just kept going right back to that switch.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
And getting scary Terry on LeBron, which, I mean, that's a scary matchup.
Right, wouldn't you?
But I mean, I'm surprised Brad Stevens didn't say, all right, we're done switching. Stay with your man, go underneath these screens.
I think they were worried about J.R. Smith finally heating up. That Kyle Korver can't miss right now from wherever he shoots. And I think that's what they were concerned with. They didn't want to let the three beat him. And I think that they went back to Joe's kind of, what Joe said earlier, let LeBron James get his points and stop everybody else. And that's kind of, I think, their mantra, and I don't think it worked. I think that you got to go back to trying to stop LeBron James.
But you can't.
And, well,
when he's in a playoff,
you can
like this.
If you don't get in foul trouble. And Marcus Morris has been in foul trouble the whole series. I think he's a good defender, but he can't stay out of foul trouble. And then you put somebody else on him, and then he gets into foul
because
trouble.
Because that's what LeBron does.
I know.
LeBron says, oh, you're going to guard me. Okay, you're going to be in foul trouble in 10 minutes.
You're right.
And that's what happens. And unfortunately, once you take Marcus Morris out and put him on the bench, there's nobody that can even contain
LeBron. And that's the whole point, right, is Boston is very depleted. And that's why I said, I'm happy with where we're at right now. If Cleveland wins 4-2, I'm a happy Boston Celtics fan knowing that we're still a year away. We're still without our two best players. And we still got the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion, to be able to take all the injuries that Boston has had, including their two best players. You take Kevin Durant and Steph Curry off the Warriors, where are they at? Take CP3 and James Harden off of their team, where are they at? Take Kevin Love and LeBron James off of the Cavs, where are they at? You took Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward off the Boston Celtics,
but
they had a lot of young kids step up that wouldn't have gotten playing time to start with, and now all of a sudden, I like where we're at.
You can say take Kyrie off this team because Kyrie was there all year. Gordon Hayward was out game one.
Doesn't matter.
So he hasn't been there all year.
Still the second best player on the team.
But they didn't use him this
still
year.
Still the second best player on the team.
But he's not. Because he didn't play.
Is.
They haven't played with him.
Doesn't matter whether you played with him or not. He's the second best player on the team.
I don't know how you can say
it's
that.
It's almost like the, is Ben Simmons still a rookie conversation?
Exactly.
How
can you say that Hayward's your second best player?
Who wins, who loses?
He played
that
10 minutes this year.
Doesn't matter what he's done for the Celtics this year.
What he's done. He broke his ankle.
It's what
and
he's
got
done
one rebound.
As a whole, what they brought him in for. Those two guys were the two best players on that team heading into the season.
He was a,
you
he
take
was a
both of those guys away from anybody
year.
Else. and they fall on their face, they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I like where we're at as a team.
If you were a Boston Celtics fan and someone told you, hey, going into Game 5, East Finals against Cavs, you guys will be 2-2, you'd take it.
Yeah, absolutely, without your two best players and all those bench guys that are hurt, the Daniel Tices, the Shane Larkins, goodness gracious.
Last year, the series ended in 5. You guys, we won the first two games in Boston.
Right.
And you guys won Game 3 in Cleveland, and boom, boom, after that.
Baby steps each year, right? Brad Stevens misses the playoffs. He makes the playoffs. He wins a first-round game. He gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, loses in 5 games. Now, all of a sudden, we're 2-2. It's continued progress with a young team that has more draft picks coming.
Mm. We made it the Boston Celtics podcast last week. We don't want to do it again this week. I think we know the difference is guard play. We know how the guards played it for Cleveland at home. What in Game 2 in Boston, JR and George Hill combined like 3 points. Yep. So that'll be a big key tonight to see how the guards play in Boston. And if this defense travels or not, if they bring that effort. And it starts with LeBron. If he comes out defending at a high level, then the other guys will follow right in line. So those are a couple things to watch tonight in Game 5.
You know, you mentioned it to me outside when we walked in before we started talking on the air. You know, if you've watched the other series, the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors last night in Game 2, or Game 4 last night.
That series is so scatterbrained.
You watch that, and you watch the defensive prowess of other players in the league. Ever since LeBron has stepped up his defensive pressure and the Cavs have actually started playing defense, you see it in other series. You see James Harden wanting to play defense. You see Kevin Durant. You see everybody stepping up that ability to play defense. And I think they're watching LeBron saying, man, best player in the world, that dude's playing defense. You know, I mean, there are some plays LeBron takes off and doesn't get out on a wide open three, doesn't rotate over.
Nine times out of ten when that happens, he's crying about a foul at the other end, but that's besides the point.
Well, but you know, the defense of what he's doing, he's leading by example.
Because he's the only player in the NBA that cries about fouls.
I'm just saying, I agree with you.
And every player.
I agree with you, but that's my point. What happens when you get burnt on the defensive end because you're at the other end because you're crying?
It happened to Al Horford the other night, too.
Exactly.
Because Tristan ran the floor and LeBron found him.
I'm not saying that they don't all do it. I'm saying that's why LeBron gets beat.
If you watch him go to the hoop, every player puts their hands up like, I just got fouled. I don't care who it is. It could be Kyle Korver. It could be I heard Isaiah Thomas, whoever it is, I don't care. But anyway, you know, if you look at the defensive pressure that the Cavs have put up in the first, the first 4 games, you know, especially the last 2 at home, that needs to carry with them, like Eric said just a minute ago, that needs to come to Boston tonight. If it doesn't, it could be a long night. And I will stick to this. I think whoever wins this game will win the series. I don't care who wins the game. Whoever wins it will win the series.
We'll talk about the West since you brought that up.
Real quick, Bron, Game 5s in Boston, 0-3 all-time, 08, 2010, 2012. So there's a little bit of history there. He's won 5 straight Game 7s, so I don't think you want to see him.
Boston's never...
In a Game 7.
Boston has never lost a series in their franchise history when they've been up 2-0 in a series. So there's a lot of things that's interesting. They're like 35-0 all-time.
Just like kind of last night, a lot of interesting things. First time in 16 home games for the Warriors that they lost a playoff game. First time that Durant and Curry have been teammates where they've lost 2 games in a playoff series.
But that whole series is just, it's more confusing than the Boston series, Boston-Cleveland series.
Houston showed me a lot last night, though.
Yeah, coming back like they did. Yeah. Chris Paul has been, man,
what a difference maker he has been.
I mean, James Harden, obviously, is probably going to win the MVP, even though that I don't think that he should. He's probably going to win the MVP. And you turn around and you look at what Chris Paul is doing in the playoffs, his first time ever in the Western Conference Finals or any conference finals, and he's been incredible. He really has.
Kevin Durant, 27 last night. Curry had 28. Harden had 30. Chris Paul had 27. The Rockets are undefeated this year, like 18-0, I think, or something like that, when Paul and Harden each score 27 or more points. So, I mean, Chris Paul, though, being a scorer, that's not really what he's known for, especially now, late this late in his career. But I almost think that he has to kind of put up those numbers. If nobody else for Houston is going to hit their shots and start
Ariza's
playing,
okay,
you had Eric Gordon playing well last night. He had a big shot.
But he was 1 for 6 from 3-point range. Other than that big shot,
but the one that he did hit. It was one of eight.
Okay,
which is even worse.
Yeah, and but that was a huge shot at the top of the key in that game. And I agree. Right now, every time you think that Golden State's going to take control of the series and then Houston comes back and, Golden State wins in 2 blowout games.
Sure.
And you're sitting there thinking, oh, man, they're going to take control of this. And then Houston comes right back and beat.
All these games in the conference finals really have been blowouts.
Yeah.
The 2 game fours are the only ones that haven't been double-digit losses for either team.
Cleveland beat Boston pretty good the other night. That score, I understand the score was, it bounced around 8-12, 8-13 most of the night. Cleveland wasn't in no jeopardy of losing that game.
So going back to Houston. Now, Houston, they have home court now. So,
they got it back now.
The 2 important games now, 5. And if there is a 7, it will be in Houston. Like you said, this series right here, it's really two. I thought it was going 7 from the jump, and I thought it would be a great series.
You're right.
Last night was really, best game so far in this series.
If you look at what I said about Boston and Cleveland, whoever wins tonight will win the series, either in 6 or 7. I think this almost the same thing with the Houston Golden State series, but I think it's more on Houston right now. Houston wins tomorrow night. I think that puts the pressure square on Golden State to have to win 2, being a game 7 back in Houston.
Right.
So then, you go to Golden State in game 6 and be like, okay, the pressure is not 100% there on you.
Right.
Because it's tough to win there. I don't care who you are. It's tough to go there and win. But knowing that you have a game 7 to come back home to, I think it's more on Houston tomorrow night than it is on Golden State.
But you also turn around and go, okay, well, yes, coming back in a game 7, they have to go on the road to Houston, but guess what? Golden State's already won in Houston. A little bit different than a game 7, even though I think Cleveland would win a game 7 because of LeBron James in Boston. They haven't won a game yet in Boston, and it may be a little bit tougher, maybe a little bit more mentally tasking for Cleveland to do that because Golden State has already won in Houston. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I see what you mean there, but I still think that the pressure's still on Houston a little more because Golden State has won there. If Golden State wins tomorrow night, the series is over.
Right.
Because they're not. They won't lose game 6 in Oakland. It just won't happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Boston favored by 1 tonight. Golden State favored by 1 tomorrow night.
So, your final thoughts, your prediction for tonight there, Eric, for Cleveland?
I don't know. Prediction. Schmishmiction. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Cavs. In order for them to win, they just need to do the things I said earlier. Defense, that needs to travel. Guard play is key. And I love what Nance has been doing off the bench. If he continues to come off the bench, even if he plays 10 minutes. But just like the other night, you guys saw what he did in such a limited role. Scored 5 points in like 4 minutes.
Big offensive rebounds, too.
Exactly. If he can just come in and do exactly what Tristan does for a short period of time, I think it'll go a long way. Remember, game 2, Cleveland dominated that first half and then pooped themselves in the second half.
Yes.
And then effort was questioned after that. So them winning 1 in Boston, it's not that far-fetched,
Not saying it's far-fetched. I agree with you. My opinion, I think Boston wins tonight, and I think Cleveland wins the next 2. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, I think I gave a prediction earlier. I think 98-94 Cleveland tonight. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people really think. It's tough to win there. Boston plays really good at home, but I think the momentum now that Cleveland has, I think they take that as long as the defense is there. If the defense isn't there, they're going to get run off the gym or run off the court. But if the defensive effort is there like it has been the last 2 games, I think Cleveland's in good shape.
Love has yet to have that kind of big game yet.
He was terrible the other night.
He had 9 points the other night, 11 rebounds. He's always going to grab those boards. But if he brings it scoring-wise, when LeBron brings it to you like he normally does, the team's almost unbeatable. So I'm kind of waiting for Kevin Love, too, to maybe show up.
Can we agree the winner of the Western Conference Finals wins the NBA Finals?
I don't say that. I'm not going to say that.
I can say that.
If it's Houston-Cleveland, I think Cleveland can beat Houston. I don't think they can beat Golden State.
I don't think that anybody beats either team. I don't think Cleveland has shown anything, and I think Boston's way too young. I think they both could get swept out of the Western Conference teams. Just saying.
All right, let's move on to high school or high school aficionado. Chris Kale was back with us this week. Obviously, we got some softball teams left, a baseball team or two left as well in the state tournaments. They kick off. I believe we're in the regionals now, regional semis. Mm-hmm. Couple teams left, Chris. Talk about those real quick before we go into that. Quick happy birthday to one of our best high school stringers that we have, Shannon Thomas, today. Big happy birthday to Shannon.
Happy birthday to him.
Thanks for all you do for us, and keep it up. We can't wait till the fall to see the work that he does with the Indian Valley Braves again this coming fall. So, Chris, hit it up.
The Indian Valley Braves and much more.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's take a look at softball. Those games are today. Regional semifinals in Division II. Couple of teams, you know, that I'll go over that are just outside of our area, but we still, they play a lot of teams in our area. Riverview, the Lady Black Bears, they play Granville at Pick Central High School today at 2 o'clock. The winner plays Saturday at Pick Central at noon.
Pickerington.
For the region. Right. Yes, for the regional title. Also at Pickerington Central High School today at 5 o'clock in Division 4, the Strasburg Lady Tigers, they take on Portsmouth Clay. Again, that's at 5 o'clock. The winner plays Saturday at noon at Pick Central High School for the regional title. And in Division 3, just outside of our listening area, Meadowbrook, they play Leesburg Fairfield at Lancaster High School at 3 o'clock today. The winner plays Saturday at noon back at Lancaster for a regional title.
You mentioned Strasburg. They'll play the winner of Lucasville Valley and Danville. So
yep.
We'll be keeping an eye on that game. There's other softball teams, East Canton, it's another team still alive. Maslin-Perry's still alive, too. Somewhat local issue.
Correct, and Maslin-Perry beat Louisville, who was, what, undefeated, I think.
Yeah.
Louisville was a beast of a team. You know that from being up there. I've got a girl that pitches for Louisville that's going to a D1 school that plays with Brittany sometimes in softball. You know, she's Sarah Cantley is a beast. She's only a sophomore. She's a lefty. She's going to Canisius. Already signed, sealed, and delivered to go to Canisius. So Sarah Cantley's a beast.
Again, you never know what the weather will do either. Hopefully, like you said, Strasburg at 5 today. We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what'll happen.
Yep, absolutely. And then on the baseball side, tomorrow, the only baseball team in our area left regional semifinals in Division III, the Ridgewood Generals. Kind of the little Cinderella story in the regionals.
The underdog.
Yes. They play Fredericktown on Thursday at Mount Vernon High School at 5 o'clock. Again, that game tomorrow. And then the winner turns around and plays Friday at the Ohio State University at 5 o'clock for a regional title. So, obviously, good luck to Riverview. Good luck to Meadowbrook, Strasburg, and, of course, good luck to the Ridgewood Generals.
Of course, absolutely. Ridgewood coming off that big win over Highland, number one Highland, 4-2. Their opponent, Fredericktown, tomorrow, they beat West Jefferson to get to this point. 8-1 was the final there. I guess some other local teams that are still alive, Steubenville, Maslin-Jackson baseball teams, John Glenn, who just beat Indian Valley, they're still alive, too.
Yep. And then taking a look at the East District All-Stars, we got those from the baseball side. Sandy Valley, their head coach, Brian Gamble, was named D3 Coach of the Year. Congratulations to him on a great season. Other Division III, the first teamers from Highland, Andy Miller and Ryan Hirschberger. From Ridgewood, Caden Smith and Colton Alexander. From Sandy Valley, Dante Tucci, Jared Eichelberger, and Cameron Woods. From Tuskegee Valley, Ethan Love. From Garraway, Trevor Donaldson, and Peyton Miller. Those are your D3. Do you have D1 and D2 over there?
No, you go for it.
Okay. D1 and D2 first teamers, Indian Valley, Dalton Bircher, and Colby McBeth. From Carrollton, Chase Marmo, and Tegan Moan. From Dover, Alex Sarin, Owen Poland. And from West Holmes, Kendrick Wagler. And then in Division 4, first teamers from Conotton Valley, Chris Hostetler. From Strasburg, Mitch and Mike Niedenthal, and also Justin Stropke. And from TCC, Jacob Schott. So congratulations. Obviously, there are second teamers and honorable mentions, but we just have time today to read the first teamers.
For the sake of time.
Those are your first teamers. But congratulations to all the East District All-Stars on the baseball side.
And also we have district, or I think they're actually in regionals track now, some track athletes. We'll talk more about that on Friday. I believe most of them run Thursday and Friday, so we'll talk about that and today as well. So I know there's a whole contingent of Garraway kids going. Carly Jacobs has a real chance of going to state.
West Holmes has a bunch too,
so
I think.
We'll talk about that on Friday just a little bit, not to shortchange the track athletes,
no, absolutely
but
not.
We'll give more time to them on Friday during our show, Big Z Sports show again, 6 to 8 on Friday night. All three of us were winding down the season. The final two shows this week and next week that we take a break until that pigskin starts to go fly around the field a little bit.
Sometime in August, I think.
Yeah. Well, hey, when the Cavs make the finals, we may extend the show, right? A couple weeks?
That's up to that's over my pay grade, so gotcha. I don't know how to tell you that. I don't know what to say.
I will vote for... I'm ready for a break.
I feel like both of you are wussing out. So.
No, I'm not wussing out. It's just, you know, it's been a long, taxing last nine months.
Yeah, but
months
you've been here like once in the last 3 months.
I'm telling you what, I'm voting for getting a Friday night back for a couple months and then getting re-energized. But we'll see. Whatever. I'll do whatever. I'm down.
Well, baseball really, really fast. Major League Baseball, the Indians, a big win with the Cubs last night. I believe it was, what, 10-1?
Yeah.
Big win. They needed it after a tough weekend in Houston.
Yonder Alonso.
Yeah, they last night they play the Cubs. They play the Cubs again tonight. Obviously, the Reds and Pirates are going at it right now. The Reds won last night. Scooter Gennett with six RBIs, hit a grand slam. So
yeah, six RBIs and they only had seven runs.
Yeah. So, hey, when you get beat by a guy named Scooter, that's what you get.
I was hoping the Reds would bring the Pirates back down to earth here this week.
Let's hope not. Let's hope we get two or three.
And you got schooled by Matt Harvey, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Joe, on Friday, remember I mentioned something about the Tribe. Listen, I know it's May, and I hate to say make or break in May, but obviously the Cubs, and they have the Astros, the White Sox, and the Twins.
Okay.
So it's kind of a big stretch for them, but they got off to a good start.
I got thinking about that. You know, make or break for the Indians, they're in the worst division in baseball.
They are.
Absolutely the worst division in baseball.
Under 500, they could win 75
games and probably win that division, unfortunately. That's just how bad that division is. But they need to keep winning. Their bullpen is shaky at best. They called up Melky Cabrera from AAA, give a little bit of boost to the offense.
How about Tomlin in the bullpen last night? He came in the ninth or whatever it was, gave up a freaking home run. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, and then you can't
catch a break.
You got Adam Plutko starting tonight. It's only his second major league start. Again for Tomlin, right? They move him down or move him to the bullpen rather, and then move Plutko.
They need to
up
move
to
him to Columbus.
Play. Yeah.
Maybe even Akron.
Trevor Bauer looked good last night.
We need him in the pen though, because we need all the help we can
get. Bauer went six strong last night, you know, six shutout innings. He struck out seven. He only walked two. So
the guys we're missing right now, and I tell you what, Yonder, it was nice to see him get off last night. Yeah. We know Lindor and Ramirez are kind of bringing it each and every single night, our two all-stars. And
Brantley's been playing well.
Yeah, Brantley too. But our two MVP candidates, Ramirez and Lindor, every night they're going to bring it. Where is Edwin? Okay. Where is Kipnis?
Edwin's a typical slow starter, so he'll heat up when the weather heats up well.
We played almost 50 games, Edwin, just so you know.
Where you been? Yeah.
Chisenhall still hurt?
I think so. I think he's in AAA rehabbing.
Be a while before we see
that. You know who one person his bullpen misses? Is Brian Shaw. He's in Colorado now, I think.
Yeah, but
you know, they're missing Brian Shaw, that extra arm to get people out.
Can't pay all these guys, man.
I know. I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but they're gonna have a decision to make with Michael Brantley in the offseason. He's a free agent after this year, so we'll see what happens.
They can
with that.
Pay him. They choose not to because of the luxury tax. Unlike the New York Yankees, who just buy World Series.
Well, I don't think there's a luxury tax in baseball.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There's no salary cap.
Yeah, no, it's a luxury tax.
But it's a luxury tax. If you spend so much money,
you pay the lower teams.
Right, well, we all know teams in smaller markets, I mean, you pay... I don't know if there's a luxury tax in baseball.
Absolutely, there is.
Yes, there is.
How can there be a luxury tax when there's no salary cap? But
what they do is they try to take those teams that want to buy championships like the Yankees and say, okay, if you want to spend $300 million, where are you going to give $30 million down to the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Cincinnati Reds who are terrible? That's what the luxury tax works.
It's not a cap. You can spend as much as you want.
Right.
But it is. If you go over a certain threshold, you're paying. It's kind of like a profit sharing almost with
they
the lower
tax you
teams.
And give the money to the lower
teams.
Well,
I think the main problem, the Indians and smaller franchises, the problem, they're not worried about paying a tax. They're worried about paying one guy, for example, Joey Votto in Cincinnati, they're not being able to pay anybody else anything.
Oh, I agree.
And then you're garbage.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the Indians that's coming off season.
Yeah, small market baseball, sure.
Yeah, this Indians off season, Cody Allen and Andrew Miller. I mean, if Shaw got 3 years, $27 million, Allen and Andrew Miller are both worth about $40 million, if you ask me. You can't pay both of them.
Sure.
Maybe even, you might not even be able to pay either of them. Both of them might be gone.
Yeah, so that's up to them as to whether they want to pay him or not.
And if you end up paying somebody the money, like for instance, the Reds did that with Homer Bailey a couple years. They chose Homer Bailey over Johnny Cueto, and look what that got you. Well, Homer Bailey hasn't pitched in 40 games right. in the last 4 years.
But the Pittsburgh Pirates are the absolute epitome of the way this works, right? They pay all the low contracts. They get the luxury taxes from the big teams, and they. A lot of people still go to PNC Park and watch them. So the owner has said, yeah, they do. The owner has said multiple times, why would I pay all that money to be a contender when I'm making a boatload of money and we suck? And that's the truth. I get it. Why spend the money when you can make the money and
remember, not be a contender? It's always a business.
But absolutely.
Sure it is. And they're making money not winning baseball games. Well, so be it then. I guess we just won't win. And that's why they trade Andrew McCutchen's and, you know, the Barry Bonds's and everybody else. Pittsburgh's been the epitome of that for 20 years.
Quickly, let's shift gears. Big racing weekend, Chris. See what I did there?
Yes, I do see you shifting gears. Yeah, huge weekend. Can't wait. I'll post some pictures from Indianapolis like I always do. I'll be at the Little 500 on Sunday. On Saturday, rather. The Little 500 on Saturday night. A lot of those guys that race in the 70th Payless Little 500 over at Anderson Speedway will be racing at Midvale Speedway in July. Our big sprint car race over here in July. So I'll try to post a little bit of that. I'll post a few pictures of the Indianapolis 500, the 102nd running. Of course, one of the big stars of the Indianapolis 500 is not going to be in the show. James Hinchcliffe, the former pole setter 2 years ago, always a perennial contender over there the last 6, 7, 8 years, got bumped out of the field. There was a lot of controversy as to whether he was going to buy his way back in. He said he would be embarrassed to be in the race if he didn't qualify. His team owner, it's up to them, obviously, and the sponsors of whether he's going to be in. I feel if he was going to be in, he would have been in a car for practice on Monday. He was not in a car, so I think that he's done. He'll go home. The other one was the second woman trying to qualify, Pippa Mann. Of course, Danica Patrick, she starts seventh, just announced that she will be the first ever female to host the ESPYs. That was just announced this
summer.
Great,
another reason not to watch that show.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying for some reason. And I love that. I love all the people that say, oh, she's gonna hit the wall and blame somebody else, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you go back and you look at Danica Patrick's record in the Indianapolis 500, she has 7 starts and 6 top tens. And the only time she's ever had an incident was on pit road when she didn't finish. The only time she didn't finish, I believe it was 2007. She runs very well at Indianapolis. She qualified 7th. She's with the pole winning team. Ed Carpenter Racing has 3 of the top 9 cars. She has a real shot to win on Sunday. And then on the NASCAR side, the Coke 600 and the Monaco Grand Prix from F1. So it's a huge racing day.
The Midvale biggest Speedway race day. I was going to say Midvale is bigger than all that.
So. It is. Midvale Speedway, their big show coming up. Super late models, the Outlaw Super Late Models 2000 to win, the race that we've been trying to get in for the last like 2 months. They're going to run that 65 lap feature. Open modifieds, open street stocks, open compacts. Going to be a great show. The last time we had open modifieds, we pulled like 35 cars in, over 40 compacts the last time we did it. So
who is going to be the Chris Kale at Midvale Speedway this weekend?
I believe from the last I had heard that Adam Mackey was going to try to come in. But his plans may have changed, so Adam may not be there. So it'll be Matthew. Matthew Helms will be the announcer at Midvale Speedway. I will be in God's country, my church, my holy land, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Wow. My holy land.
Holy cow.
Hey, game 7 on the ice tonight. Caps.
Yes.
Lightning.
Yes.
Who's going to face the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I hate Alex Ovechkin, so I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. Go Bolts!
In order for me to even watch maybe a game of the Stanley Cup Finals, the Caps will need to win. Nobody wants to see the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning just won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, and they're facing off against first time ever an expansion team in their first ever year in the finals.
I didn't know that, and folks in Tampa Bay probably didn't even know that.
Well, that's not the truth.
We'll see if the Caps
win. The St. Louis Blues went in 67-68 in their first year to the finals. But there's an asterisk beside that because there was only 12 teams in NHL and 8 of them qualified for the playoffs.
Right, correct.
But it's not the first. It's the first since 67-68 okay. when the St. Louis Blues did
okay.
it. Just telling you.
Wow.
That was it. That was in my sports update.
That was in my sports knowledge.
Update earlier this week. Thanks for listening.
The hockey. the hockey knowledge oozing out of Joe Geckler.
That's the most hockey knowledge I've ever. You know what
it's time to do? It's time to ooze on to lunch.
We are. We're oozing on to lunch, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast, brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, 330-365-9022. Check them out on AESRacing.com as well, and all three of us will be back together Friday night, beginning at 6 o'clock on 99.9 WTUZ. See you Friday night.